So we'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, says it's speaking about the Chiyuv of Netilas Yadayim, and this is Mayim Emtzoy, Mayim which is in the middle of the meal, not the Netilas Yadayim of Mayim Rishonim. And not my machronim, my memtoy. And the Gemara says like this: Omer of Nachman lo yishanu ella bein tavshel la tavshel. That which we said that my memtoyim is reshus. Yeah, there's no chiyuv to wash your hands in between having certain parts of your meal. There's no chiyuv. That is only talking about bein tavshel la tavshel, which Tosis is going to explain soon what that means. Avol bein tavshel legvina, with a cooked thing and then cheese, that is a choiva, that's an obligation. Now there's a big machlokes rishonim in Tosfos, what this tavshel, when we speak about bein tavshel legvina, what we're talking about. It says it's a choiva to wash your hands. What are we talking about? So Tosfos comes along and brings Rabbeinu Shmuel. Om Omer Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Mairi, the chiyuv, to wash your hands, b'shneim shel basar, both the tavshel, when it says bein tavshel tavshel, is b'shneim shel basar, shneim shel gvina. Av bein tavshel shel basar legvina, shelafon of choiva. That which we're talking about when we say that reshus to wash your hands is only bein tavshel tavshel, but tavshel shel basar legvina shelafon of. That means like this. What we're saying is, Tosis is bothered about a problem. Tosis is saying, how if you take the Gemara Kibshutai, the Gemara sounds like you can have a tavshul, and assumingly it's tavshul shel bosa, you can have something, let's say, take a potato which was cooked in the cholent. You can take a potato out of your cholent, eat that potato, and then wash your hands, and then eat your gvina. The Gemara is only speaking about the requirement to wash your hands. And the Gemara is saying it's chayva. Bein tavshel legvina, it's a chayva. But it implies that that's permissible. You can take a potato which is cooked with meat and eat that potato, and the whole requirement is chayva, just wash your hands. But there's no problem mitzad basa b'cholov. There's no problem, you don't have to wait. There's no chiv hamtona. It's just chayva. So do you know what Tosis does? Mikoyach this question, Tosis changes around the pshat and the Gemara. Mikoyach this question, he says,
potato and not mixed with gravy, for example.
Yeah, not with the gravy. Just you take it out. It's cooked with a potato. There's no bits of cheese on it. No bits of meat on it. You've taken it out. It's a clean potato now. But it's been cooked and it's absorbed the taste of the meat. Nevertheless, the Gemara, the simple pshat and the Gemara, implies the whole chiyuv is just to wash your hands. The chiyuv is a chiyuvus natila. But the Tosis is bothered about that. Tosis says, how can that be? You're meaty. Surely you're meaty. How can you go along and eat the cheese directly afterwards? Says Tosis, we've got to change around what the Gemara means. Avol bein tavshel shel basar legvina shelafonov. When the Gemara says that it's a chayva, and between tavshel and gvina, it means where you had the gvina first, and then you had the thing. Because that's permitted. If you have gvina, and then bosa, you can have even bosa, mamash. That's not a problem. So what Tosis is bothered about, Tosis says, how can it be that this tavshel, you eat a tavshel, shel bosa, and then you have gvina immediately afterwards, and the whole requirement is only to wash your hands? That can't possibly be. Therefore, he says the gvina that the Gemara is talking about is when you eat the gvina first. So now, Tosis himself is not very happy with that.
It's only if the gvina is young, no? If it's immature.
Okay, yeah, that's a different discussion.
Same problem with gvina first.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gvina in the Zman of Gemara was mature, wasn't it? Usually.
It has to be 6 months, and even Shach says it has to be moldy, so it's not so straightforward about the 6 months.
Especially when the Gemara.
Especially nowadays.
When the Gemara speaks about gvina, though.
Yeah, so according to the Taz, it's only gvina matulas. It has to be actually got stuff growing from it. Anyway, but this gvina, assumingly, is straightforward cheese. Okay, So that's Shittas Rabbeinu Shmuel. Comes Tosus, and Tosus says, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you can't be matcha the pashtus of the Gemara. The pashtus of the Gemara is that you had your tavshil, then you have your gvina, and the whole requirement is to wash your hands. But you can eat a tavshil shabbos, you can eat a potato which is cooked with meat, which has absorbed the taste of the meat, and it's properly meaty, and the whole requirement you have is to wash your hands. But there's no problem in eating cheese directly after the tavshil shabbos. Look at the Rabbeinu Tam says, Ve'einir Rabbeinu Tam, the bein tavshil the gvina, mashma tavshil tchila. You've got your tavshil first. Kedam le'el, kama yisha bein basa the gvina, ve'loi klum. And therefore, Tosis argues, Rabbeinu Tam argues with Rabbeinu Shmuel. This then becomes a major machloikas, the halacha, a machloikas mechab and ramah. If you're lucky enough to pass them like they're a mechaba, then you could go and take your potato out of the cholent on Friday afternoon. Make sure there's no meat, actually, strings of meat hanging from the potato. And about gravy, how much gravy. There's obviously going to be a little bit of tam, but that's not a problem. And then eat that potato, and then have a coffee afterwards. There's no problem. Because the mechaber paskens, so let's have a look at the mechaber inside. It says, Ochal tavshul shel basa, muta lechel acharov tavshul shel gvina, v'anetila b'neim ein el rishus. Avol im bo lechel ha-gvina atzmo, if you want to eat gvina itself, acha tavshul shel basa, means after your potato from the cholent, oi ha-basa atzmo acha tavshul shel gvina, it's the other way around. A little yodot. There's only a requirement to wash your hands. Means the mechaba, this is Shittas HaMechaba, is paskening like Rabbeinu Tam, like the pashtus of the Gemara. He doesn't make the akimta of Rabbeinu Shmuel and changes the order around. Okay. What's the Ramah say? Hagar. V'nohagu achshav lahachmir shaloi lechol gvino acha tavshul shal basa. Says the Ramah, no. The minig is today, we don't eat gvina, we don't eat cheese after tavshil shel basa. So if you've eaten your potato from the meat, from the cholent, that's it, you're fleishik now. You can't eat gvina afterwards. Kamoi acha basa atzma, like after eating basa itself. There's no difference between a tavshil shel basa, something which is cooked with meat, or the basa itself. Ve'ein l'shanis v'lifritz gedef. That's what the Ramah says, and that's how we go. However, the Ramah adds a chiddush, and this is what we're going to speak about. The Ramah adds a chiddush. Miyu im ein basa b'tavshil rakshin special b'kedusha shel basa. If there was no actual meat in the tavshil, but it's just a meaty pot, muta lechel acharav gvina. You're allowed to eat from a meaty pot if you cooked a parva,
a clean.
Well, we're going to see soon if it's clean or not. The pashtus of the Ramah, we'll see. It sounds like if it's clean. You take a clean pot, you cook some parva potato in it, and it's a ben yoimoy, fleishika pot. That pot now cooks the potato, even if it absorbs, this potato absorbs tam, kenzan it absorbs tam, but nevertheless you do not become meaty, you do not have to wait. Ad kan divrei ha-ramo. Yeah, muta lecha lachar av gvina, ve'ein minig lachmet, there's no minig lachmet.
So what's the point of washing the hands then? Is it keeping your hands dirty, or what's
the requirement of washing your hands is because you've actually touched.
People used to eat with the hands before.
Okay. It says, I think the post can tackle say if you nowadays that we eat with our hands. Sorry, we eat with our knife and fork, then we don't need to wash our hands. There's no chiv to wash the tila. The tila was in the days that they actually ate with their hands. Okay. So now the Shach asks the Kasha. Shach says, the pashtus of the Ramah, like we mentioned before, is talking about a clean pot. Ask the Shach, why do we need to come onto this chiddush? The Ramah saying there's no minig lahachmir if you cooked a power of a tavshil in a ben yoimoy fleishik apart. There's no chiv to be mountain. There's no chiv hantona of 6 hours. For the shach, you could even eat that thing together with cheese itself. You cooked a potato in a fleishik apart because of the principle of nat banat. second generation Tam. There's one generation Tam, what means, let's just go into what Natba Natba is for a second. That you've got meat going into the pot, giving Tam to the pot, that's called Noisin Tam Rishon. Then from the pot back into the potato, that's Noisin Tam Sheni. That's called the principle of Natba Natba. We can eat that potato, at least b'dieved, you would be able to eat that potato together with cheese because of the principle of Natba Natba. So Frank the Shach, why do we have to come onto the din of not being mamtin? Why does the Rama have to be mechadish to us? Okay, it was a big chiddush, you know, you cook something in a part of the thing in a flashing pot, you don't need to wait. Frank the Shach, you can do a lot more than that. You can eat this potato together with cheese. As I state in the Shach. The Shach said, brings the, look at the next Maramokim on this. As lekamon simon tadi he yispired afilu leochloi im gvina muta to have a nap on that. So the Shach is bothered about what is the chiddush of the Ramah? What's the Ramah telling us? Answers the Shach a chiddush, huge chiddush. The nira the hard ashmin on hacha the muta lecha gvina achakach hainu afilu nispashel bekdeira shloi hudach yofa. Even if you took a dirty pot and you cooked up a potato, let's say, in a dirty, meaty pot with meat pieces inside the pot, you're allowed to go along and eat that potato and you will not be fleishik. That means, you're right. The din of nat banat is only talking about a clean thing. That means with regard to the halach of nat banat, and eating it together with cheese of simon tzadi hay that the Shach brings, that's only talking about you've taken a clean pot, you cooked a potato in that clean pot, but the evid, if you put the cheese on the potato, then you can eat that potato. That's the din of Natba Nat. Here the Ramah is talking about the din of Hamtana and telling us a chiddush, that if you've got a dirty pot with actual bits of meat inside it, you cook a potato inside that pot, you don't eat the meat, obviously. You just eat the potato without the meat. Nevertheless, you now do not need to wait 6 hours. There's no din hamtana. You don't need to wait 6 hours. So how's the Shach answering his kasha? He's saying there is a chiddush over here. You asked me there's no chiddush because it's anyway not bad. You could eat that thing itself with cheese. The answer is no. We'll give you a case that the Rama is being mechadish to me. Even in a dirty pot where, of course, there wouldn't be a din of Natba Nat in a dirty pot, but nevertheless, the chiddush is legabe hamtona, there's no chiyuv to wait, even though it's been cooked together with actual bits of meat. So if you've got a dirty pot, this also doesn't work with the yekkers. Yeah? You can't have we wouldn't have a dirty pot, but the Shulchan Aruch, according to this, is talking about cooking your potato together with a used pot, meaning with actual pieces of meat in it, a little bit of meat in it, then says the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, there's mechadosh to us, that there's no din hamtana.
So what's the difference between a dirty pot and taking this potato out of a meaty soup?
Oh, excellent question. We're going to come to that now. Yeah, so we're going to come to that. Okay, Freck the Heilige based mayor. This is your kasha. Frek the base mayor. He says, Omnon tirutsoi enem siyashiv. Frek the base mayor, it doesn't make sense. Be monoshoch. Im ha be'en nisbatel b'shishim. If the be'en, the little bit of dirt that you've got left, or the little pieces of basa which you have in your pot, is if there's shishim in the whole tavshil against that little bit of basa, then it's nisbatel. It's nisbatel, it's poshut. Yeah, there's no chiddush of the Ramah. No chiddush, the Shach's chiddush in the Ramah. There's no chiddush in that. Have a kloy hoya. It's as if it wasn't there. The im loynis battle, meaning you haven't got shishim connected those pieces, have a mamash hatavshul shabasa. It's a tavshul shabasa. There's no difference between that and taking a potato out of your cholon. So he's saying mi monashach. It doesn't make sense over here. As I frekt the beis meir. So Ruki Vega and both the Ruki Vega and the beis meir answer a different teretz. That means they answer a different teretz to the Shach's kasha. But they're not being miyashav, the Shach, they give a different teretz. Their teretz is that we're talking about a dovah chorif. There's a chiddush that there's no din nat by nat by a dover chorif. So if you cut an onion with a fleishiken knife, you're not allowed to eat that onion together with milk, even b'diavad. You're not allowed to have that onion together with meat. Clean knife, even if it's ain ben yoimoy. If you cut an onion with a fleishiken knife, you can't put that on your pizza. Yeah? There's no din nat by nat. And on that, that's where the Merumah is being mechadish to me, that even if you, there's no din nat banat, but there's no din hantana either. That means there's no din nat banat, and if you took that onion, which is cut with a fleishiken knife, and you put it on cheese, you wouldn't be able to eat it. But the Merumah is being mechadish, nevertheless, there's no din hantana. There's no din of waiting. That's the chiddush of the Merumah. The shach asks the kasha, surely you should be able to eat it with cheese. Answers the base mayor, Rabbi Kivega, no, we're talking about a case where you can't eat it with cheese. There's no din nat banat. The hainu, we're talking about a dover chorif. That's how the but we're still shver on the shach.
Even a clean knife?
Even a clean knife, yeah. Clean knife and even ein ben yomer. Unbelievable chiddush. That's the din halacha lemaisa. You're not allowed to take a knife, cut an onion, and use it together with cheese, even with the evet or the asa. Okay, so what's left for us to be mavair is shittas hashach. Maishnot, the base mayor's got a very good kasha on the shach. What's the difference between cooking something up in a dirty pot with a little bit of meat inside and taking a potato out of a cholent? Why is it that the Ramah, who's machmir to say that you're not allowed to take a potato from a meaty pot, if you did and you ate it, then you'll have to wait. But when it comes to a dirty pot, then we say, well, it's only a little bit of dirt, it's fine, it's okay. Maishno. So I'd like to suggest the following teretz. Nope, he says, not on the shach. If it's shishin, then it's kaloi hoya. There's no chiddush in that.
If it's shishim and you cook, let's say you've got these bits of meat,
yeah,
and you put in shishim of potatoes,
yeah,
can you eat the bits of meat as well?
No, absolutely not. Okay, so I'd like to suggest the following. Why is there a chiv hamtana b'chlap? Mehecha teisa, there is a chiv hamtana. Why do you have to wait after eating meat till you eat milk? So there's some famous machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, about the chiv hamtana. The Rambam says, we're worried about bosa shebein hashinayim. We're worried about little bits of meat which is stuck in between your teeth. And when you eat your cheese, you're going to have the meat and the milk in your mouth at the same time. Meat and cheese in your mouth at the same time. That's shittas harambam. Rashi says, no. If you eat meat, meat stays in your stomach and you sort of regurgitate the tam. And therefore, we're worried about that coming up. There's not many nafkaminas. We don't need to go into that now. But the yisoid is that meat somehow stays around longer than cheese. And therefore, when you eat your cheese, later on, it's going to connect with that meat that you have. The question is, when you've got a tafshel shel basar, something which is cooked with meat, do Rashi and the Rambam's tamim apply? Mechir not. Rambam certainly doesn't, and even Rashi also, Pashtus doesn't, because the mice, there's only tam bosal, which is inside that. There's definitely not going to be bosal shebein hashinayim. There's no bosal inside. And also the tam, l'chayru, it's only when you eat actual meat. When you eat a potato which is cooked with meat, that's going to stay around for longer. Nevertheless, comes the Ramah, and which is, we saw Shittas Rabbein Shmuel before, and it says there's a loy plug. We give something which is cooked together with meat the same din as meat itself. The ein l'shamis l'ifritz geder. That means it's a nagul hachmir to give the din of something which is cooked together with meat as if it was actual meat. Even though the tamim of Rashi and the Rambam don't apply, but nevertheless, it's a loy plug. This is cooked with meat. It's got tam bosa. Tam bosa is kabosa atzmai. And therefore, we have to wait. Legabe hamtana. Zot the Ramah. Now we can understand the Ramah very gishmak, according to the Shach. What about something which is cooked together with meat, with little bits of meat? Do we say a low plug on that? Is that called a tavshel shel basa? That's not called a tavshel shel basa. Tavshil shel basar means something which is cooked together with meat. Something which the meat is enhancing its flavor. You're right, you might have a bit of dirt or a little bit of meat at the bottom, but would you call that, would you define that as a tavshil shel basar? We wouldn't define that as a tavshil shel basar. That's a potato in a dirty pot. A tavshil shel basar is when you cook basar and a potato together. That's when it becomes tavshil shel basar. So zei geshmak shat in the shach. And therefore, you're right. Maybe there's not enough that you don't have shishim against this. You don't have shishim against it. But nevertheless, you're not going to give it the lomdus of a tavshil shel basar. You're not going to call it a tavshil shel basar just because there's a little bit of meat at the bottom. You have to know, are you cooking it, a potato you're cooking in a chorant in order to provide the potato with the tam of basar? But if you've got if you're taking a pot, which you just can't be bothered rinsing out, it's got a little bit of meat at the bottom, you're not cooking it in order to get the tam of basar. In that case, you wouldn't have to have amtana, even the das arama. So zechino ledin, halacha lemaisa, avada, if you came and took a potato from a pot, then there's a chiyuv hamtana. If you cook the potato in a dirty pot, according to the shach, it doesn't matter that there's no shishim against the meat. Nevertheless, it's a dirty pot, it's not called the tavshil shel basar, there's no chiyuv hamtana. What about the other way around? The other way around. What happens if you are meaty? People don't know this halacha. If you are meaty, yeah, you ate basar, and then you cut an onion with a milchika knife. Are you allowed to eat that onion? We said before, the opposite way around, if you cut an onion with a meaty knife, then there's no chiyuv hamtana. But if you are meaty, because you've eaten meat, and you cut an onion with a milchika knife, are you allowed to eat it? The Prima Gadim Milchas Pesach says you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. Yad Yehuda says, after Eini Bin Yoyme, if the knife is Eini Bin Yoyme, you're allowed to. That means there's a difference which way around. And according to this vod, it's poshut. It means once you're meaty, once you've had tam basa, once you've had basa shebena shenayim, of course you have to wait now. And what's including in waiting? Even something which is cut, which has got tam cholov in it. But the other way around, not. Okay, let me just... That was ad kan divri aloch. I just wanted to say a short...
Potato cooked in a milk pot.
Huh?
You have a potato cooked in a milk.
No. No, you can't. Okay, I'm just going to say a short word on the chvod. Maybe Pasha Zocher, and also tomorrow's Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. So, say like this. The famous Nasiv. Nasiv asked the Kasha. In the pasuk it says, Klal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu la'yovei Amalek. First, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, they said, is Hashem amongst us? And then, la'yovei Amalek came. So it seems to be a connection between the two. What's the connection? And also, the Nativ asks, how could they possibly say Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? It doesn't make sense to say Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Surely, if anyone knew that Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, it was them. They'd witnessed Kriyas Yamtzel, they had the Esamakas, they had all the Nisim, and they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. How could they possibly suggest that? So the Tziv famously answers that what they were saying was they knew that Hashem was around, but they thought it was B'schus Moshe. Moshe managed to live on a level, the Mala Miderech HaTeva, and elevate Klal Yisrael to a level of the Mala Miderech HaTeva, a Mala of Nisim, and therefore Yesh Hashem, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was around. But what they were asking was, Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us? Or is it only b'schus Moshe? After Moshe Rabbeinu dies, we know Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to live forever. He's the boss of the Don. So he's not going to live forever. So therefore, yes, we're now elevated to a matzav of Yesh Hashem. Yesh Hashem, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But is it b'kirbeinu? Is it amongst us? Or is it just b'schus Moshe? That was the question. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Hashem sends Amalek. What's Amalek? Amalek only comes when Moshe's not around. When they start to think about Moshe not... Amalek can't come and deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Moshe's there, when there's a matzav of Giloy. It's only when they start to be mistapik, and Amalek is a gematria sofig, they start to be mistapik, and they say, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with us, then Amalek comes. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Go and send Yeshua, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Send Yeshua and have a normal physical battle. Have a battle, a hand-to-hand combat, right? They have a regular, normal battle. And in this normal battle, you'll be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your question was, Hayesh Hashem Bek Rabbeinu will be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Moshe Rabbeinu is gone? Yes, take Yeshua. Have a normal battle. In the physical times, in the normal physical interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll still be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That wasn't a punishment. It was a tikkun. You asked, are you going to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, yes, you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, and he points to the Shemayim, you'll be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question on that is, then why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah Moshe to stand on the mountain? Surely Yeshua should have done the whole thing. If the whole purpose is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Teva, within normal day-to-day life, then Yeshua should have done the battle, Yeshua should have pointed upwards, and let Klal Yisrael look at his hands. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu standing there? Perhaps the answer is with the famous Ramban. You need to have a shutfus between Moshe and Yeshua. Why? Because a person can only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu behesta, only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day, in the Teva, once he's a mamin, once he's seen the giluim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, then he'll see him everywhere. Then he'll see him in the day-to-day Teva. So you have to have Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu stand for? He stands for the Nisim Gdulim Mufursamim. He stands for Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there's definitely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we know there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the Teva. So there's a shutfus going on between Moshe and Yeshua. Moshe stands on the mountain, they look at his hands, they see, they remember the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them in the open. And then they fight a normal battle, they can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the Hester, even in the Teva. And perhaps that's a shot. Well, it says Haman was very excited that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Chodesh Adar. He said, this is a time that I can attack. But he didn't know, Chazal tell us, he didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born there. What's going on? He didn't do his homework. Pshat is Azoi. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, now's my time to attack. Because I can't attack, I'm Amalek, I'm Ben-Benoi Shel Amalek. I can't attack when Moshe Rabbeinu was there. It's all clear, there's definitely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, that represents the concept of Moshe, the Giloi, going, now's my time to attack. But he didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu actually continues. He continues in a different format. He continues in a way of B'toich HaTeva. That means the message of Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, but he was also born. What does it mean he was also born? That Moshe Rabbeinu continues to live in a different way. As Hashem, we should taka be able to be zeicher to see the Giluyim and the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch
Hu.
He used the Rabbi Baruch Hu.